Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Yeah, baby, playoff week! Woo, woo. Wild, wild, wild card weekend in the NFL. But before we get to that, welcome to the Cowboys Can Fan Show? Question mark? Podcast? Event? Main event? How's everyone doing? Bandwagon boys are over there getting ready. It's playoff week, our third season in a row, fellas. Cowboys finished 12-5, secured the NFC East, going in with two, hopefully, playoff home games. How you guys feeling about that?
Yeah, well, first up, Cheeseheads. And I don't want to think too far ahead from this Sunday's game. But yeah, that the potential of two home games, I mean, that's that falls right into what we've seen how the Dallas Cowboys can win this year. Play at home.
Play at home, baby. Get those home games. Because a couple weeks ago, we thought we were road warrioring it for the whole postseason. And with the luck of fate, with the Eagles crashing, we're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff. But I'm still on cloud nine that we got that second seed, that wild win over the Detroit Lions, and then that smashing of the Washington Commanders, which we all expected to see. Ad, how you doing over there, fella?
I'm good. The win on Sunday was awesome. It was great having Taylor Chima in the in the studs. Mm-hmm. And I feel good. I feel good about our chances in the playoffs.
I'm not
worried about the Packers stuff that we're going to get into later today. The only thing that annoyed me was that just listening to all the analysts fucking talk up Green Bay all week long.
Yep, you're going to get that. It's how it's going to go. Way J, what do we got on the docket?
Well, on today's show, the Cowboys claim that NFC beast, as you just mentioned, Dallas Cowboys claim that with a Week 18 win over their division. Well, I guess their division rivals, everyone in there's a rival, the Washington Commanders. Although, as of late, have not been much competition. But Dak Prescott still rose to the occasion and led them boys to victory to keep that home win streak alive. Brandon Aubrey was literally blocked from kicking a perfect season at least one time, and then he shanked it, but then he got that 50-yarder.
He doinked her. He did get a doink.
I still don't blame him.
And CeeDee Lamb punched his ticket into Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame, essentially.
Yeah,
that season.
Man, at least he's at least in Cowboys lore forever, right? He's on his trajectories, a Hall of Fame player, and he's definitely, well, now he has Cowboys records, which... Yeah. The great Michael Irvin, he beat the Michael Irvin in a couple categories. And there's been some pretty good players for the Cowboys at the receiving position. And for CeeDee Lamb to finish with new highs in receiving yardage. And I think if Dak and him started off a little hotter at the start of the year, he might have even had the touchdown receiving record. So, he had a great way to finish the season with two tugs against the Commanders. And I think he had about, 92 yards? So CeeDee's firing on all cylinders. He finished just behind Tyreek Hill for reception yards. I believe he finished first in the NFL with receptions, second in yards, and
he's
third in touchdowns.
He's 50 yards behind.
Yeah, 50 yards behind. But damn,
much closer by week 18.
Pretty funny that we collectively called that as a group. I wouldn't say with the exact numbers, but we said what we'd be happy with, and like we were in the ballpark with everything.
Yeah, he cleared the yards by far.
We even lowballed him in the yards. We were like 1,400 yards, and we'd be ecstatic. And he hit, 17, almost 1,750?
I said 1,200 yards.
I know.
But I said 12 tugs, which he did.
He did. And then we kind of were all at 120 receptions. And I remember even saying that. I was like, I don't know if he's going to get 120 receptions. That's pretty high. And what did he finish up, 133?
133 or 131.
Fuck, man, what a season. What a season.
But this weekend, Big Mike will be having some flashbacks when the Green Bay Packers take the field against the Dallas Cowboys in what should be an exciting wild card weekend matchup. The Dallas Cowboys are favorites, and we'll be sharing our thoughts and hearing what Chad has to say about this upcoming must-win wild card matchup. Plus, we're going to do some score and bold predictions.
Woo!
All this and more on today's show.
Crack him if you got him, baby. Big Mike flashbacks. It sounds like that sounds like a sports pub. Big Mike's flashbacks.
Big Mike's flashback. Yeah,
and it's just like depend, and it's all based around food and sweat.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, it's all like the sweaty burger. What do you think the over under is that Mike sleeps with a sleep apnea machine? He does.
He has to. He's rocking the sleep apnea machine.
So Big Mike's rocking that sleep apnea.
I think he should, but he refuses.
Thinks it's voodoo. Yeah, that's voodoo.
Yeah,
his wife, my coaching power out of me.
Well, he has a beard, so he definitely doesn't just have the nose one that I have. So he probably when he's clean shaven, you know, he's been on the sleep apnea machine.
He definitely has. Definitely he, does. So for.
Not so, for playoffs.
Playoffs. So, guys, I mean, that Washington game, there was some takeaways from it, but I think the end of the third quarter, we were all kind of in drunk. We were just drunk and not even really paying attention to the game. Let's be honest. Realistically, we were watching for the big plays. We all thought going into that game it was going to be a beatdown. It was a little dicey at the start. Commanders actually had a 10-7 lead at one point, but the Cowboys completely just pulled away from them, scored a touchdown before half. Came back out with the ball in the third quarter, marched down again, fucking sliced and diced, put those guys to bed. Cowboys secure the second seed.
Yeah, I mean, after going into halftime up 21-10, and, you know, it felt like a comfortable lead with how the momentum had shifted. And then by the end of the third, or actually probably halfway through the third, it was like, okay, this is sealed up. Nothing against the Commanders, but they just had nothing to really offer. I mean, they kept things interesting at in pockets throughout the game, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Were you guys at all worried during the game? Like when it was 10-7 for the Commanders, did we think, it's going to be maybe a back and forth?
I was like, oh shit, here's one of those fucking 33-31 type of games that the Cowboys are going to find themselves in. But defense ended up coming around, and then offense. I mean, to be quite honest, I don't think the Cowboys necessarily played exceptional. They didn't make mistakes, and they just kept scoring.
They kept scoring
the ball and scoring.
In the second half, they just kept scoring, and this is the one time in the season that deferring the kickoff at the start of the game actually worked out in their benefit. They scored right before half, which AJ said put them up 21-10. Then they came back out right again on their next drive to put it 28-10, and that was pretty much like, okay, I feel a lot better. I would have felt a little bit, the only time I would have felt a little bit nervous is if we went into halftime 10-7. But they went down, mm-hmm. The Cowboys, they went up going into half, and then that was pretty much game over.
Yeah. Michael Clark in the chat says, in all capitals, so he's yelling, I was at the game, and not for 1 second was I worried.
Good.
Okay.
I like that.
I'm glad.
Well, yep.
Yeah, I was just saying, then Botchy just follows that up with anyone going to the game on Sunday, he's going to crack one with me because Botchy is going to be there at Green Bay. But
boots on the ground.
We'll get more into that. Okay, AJ, what you got, dog?
Nothing. We're just chatting.
We're just chatting.
I don't have nothing specifically, but just to touch on the running game coming into its own, and this was something that actually Curse had mentioned. Curse. Shit, it's been so long since I haven't been screaming his name. I can't say it properly. But he also mentioned this, although this comment specifically is about Tony Pollard kind of turning it on here the last couple weeks. Since week 9, TP20 has been ranked 3rd in PFF rushing and 5th in yards after contact and 3rd in missed tackles. So he's running like a top 5 QB since week 9, even though his stats aren't like screaming at you, hey, this guy's performing well. When he gets the ball, he's doing everything he can to move it forward. And then we also had, I think, a combined nearly between Dowdle and TP20. We had almost 120 yards.
Yeah.
Which some rushing running backs, I'll give you, will do that themselves. But as just a backfield, that was nice to see. And there was more runs in a couple more yards, handful of yards with CeeDee Lamb and some other trick run plays there. But it's nice to see the run game coming in together, and like Kyrus mentioned, he said he feels the defense also is starting to play their best football of the year.
Well, you have guys coming alive like you have Donovan Wilson and Jordan Lewis, who were kind of shaky earlier on in the season, but are now coming up and making some plays. With regarding the Tony Pollard situation, we haven't been as down on him as everybody else. Like we felt actually pretty good about him. Like when he has got the opportunities, he's made plays. I think the only game that he was kind of a little lackluster in, I want to say it was the Dolphins game, but he had no chance. He was getting tackled before he was even at the line of scrimmage, where to me, that's more of an offensive line problem than it is a running back problem. And then PFF backs that stat up saying he's top five in contact or broken tackles, and then third as the rush grade. So I like where he's playing and how he's looking going into the postseason, where you better be able to run the fucking rock, because you can't be one-dimensional in the playoffs.
Playoffs.
Well, he had rushing. He had 6 rushing touchdowns, and I think that's where a lot of people are kind of hyper-focused on, is like, yes, but Zeke did 12 plus touchdowns a year. Okay, that's true. Maybe that isn't his strong set, and that is something to be concerned about, especially with that missed, was it the Lions game?
Yeah, the Dolphins.
Dolphins.
When he got tackled on the
1.5-yard
fucking
line.
Yeah, inch yard
inch
line.
Yard line. So that would have put him up to 7 had he got that, but still, I will say that, like, yeah, that's low numbers for your starting running back. You'd like to see that at least 8, you know, 10.
10 is kind of, especially when you didn't have Zeke, like, you didn't have Zeke poaching any of the goal line carries this year. So we all, and this is the thing, we all had such high expectations for TP. Like, everyone had, we all expected him to be the best running back in the NFL, because we've seen it in glimpses where he, like last year, you would think, okay, you double his carries, he should be the top back in the NFL. It didn't work out that way this year, but I still think he's easily good enough to be confident in what he's going to do in the next, hopefully, 4 games.
We got a super chat from Radical 808.
Oh,
$2 super chat.
Yeah,
a nice Toonie Tuesday, but Toonie, it's a Wednesday.
Toonie Wednesday.
Saw BIB that AJ was on. Nice convo with the Washington fans.
Oh, nice.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, those were great guys. It was a nice, respectful conversation. It helps though when we're all kind of agreeing they wanted to see Washington lose.
They wanted second overall pick.
And I would be in their same boat. Like,
fuck yeah.
There are rare times that you want your team to lose. But how I sold it to them was like, okay, then like the players, when they go out there, they're more than likely going to try to play to win.
Yeah.
So you just put out guys who you want to
see,
have a look at,
evaluate.
You sit guys who are maybe some trade potential or someone who you're like, okay, you're going to be on the squad next year. We don't need to risk anything in this game with you. And that's how you can like kind of give a game away. I don't think.
Track me if you got him, baby.
I don't think Washington did that in this game, though. At least not until the end of the game.
No, they were playing.
Yeah.
They played fairly well going into, like, again, the third quarter. They were right in there. They made a few plays with that block kick. They just couldn't get, they got down into, I think they fucked up a few times. They got down into the red zone, and instead of just taking 3 points,
yeah,
they were playing to win, which, again, I mean, you're in,
why
wouldn't you, yeah, right? So, but if you were trying to actually win for jockeying positions,
right,
I think they were a little bit more aggressive in situations where they might have kicked a football in a different type of game or earlier in the season.
Yeah,
I mean, think of the coach that's going to be going into that team now with that second pick of the draft, and you're all set to do some rebuilding.
Yeah, Dan Quinn.
You think it's going to be Dan
Quinn? I fucking hope not, man.
Dan Quinn.
Quinn's going to Seattle. Dan Quinn's going to Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, with the retirement of Pete Carroll today, if any, that's the most likely place. Now, however, there, someone posted, was it you or Alex that posted in the chat that they made some adjustments to Dan Quinn's contract to try to keep
him? I think that was meant for before this season, though. I think that was prior to this season that they adjusted it to keep people away. They kind of gave him a bit more money to make him happy.
Oh, we're already jumping to the coaching talk?
Well,
we jumped into it, so let's go. Okay. Let me bring up my little coaching thing here. There we go. Quinn McClay coaching requests. Okay. Yeah, so what's potential of, I was saying to Alex, actually, I was saying it to both of you guys, that the thought of, like, Will McClay.
You talk Dallas Cowboys football to just AJ and not me?
He sends Never. Me a.
I send him messages on to say, hey, I don't want Ant to yell
don't
at
me. Don't let Ant see
you. I don't want Ant to yell at me, you know?
I poke fun. I grew up with brothers. I'm rough.
But I, like, it. Having the ability to be a GM of a team and not saying that they don't listen to Will McClay, because I think they take a lot of what Will McClay says in terms of adding personnel to the Cowboys, but you do have Jerry Jones as the owner GM. Whereas now Will McClay could be like, if the Cowboys win the Super Bowl this year, I feel like both Will and Quaid would be Quaid.
Get to the reactor.
Will and Quaid have a potential of leaving.
That's where your stock market, like that's where your stock's highest off a Super Bowl win, right? And Dan Quinn's expressed interest in wanting to be a head coach as long as it's the right opportunity. That's what scares me. Another thing that scares me is Micah Parsons' contract's coming up and he ends up jumping ship over to play for Dan Quinn in a Any Given Sunday-esque move.
Oh, like at the end of Any Given Sunday?
Where now, Willie Beeman leaves to follow coach.
I'm signing the expansion team to the free. Yeah, don't.
Which makes Jerry Jones Cameron Diaz.
Oh, yeah, sweet. Jerry Jones, a nice, svelte Cameron D.
So what do we have here? So Jones responds to other teams' request to interview Cowboys coaches. Black Monday has come and gone, but the aftermath has just begun, especially for the Cowboys, who coaches are generating high interest from other teams. Multiple reports have stated that numerous teams have asked for permission to interview defensive coordinator Dan Quinn for potential head coaching opportunities. Teams that have reached out for permission include the Washington Commanders, who we just smoked, the LA Chargers, who we smoked, and the Carolina Panthers, who we smoked. Quinn has been no stranger to the conversation, and he has been a viable candidate for a head coaching position since his tenure in Dallas started in 2021. Thoughts on that, guys? Like, would you, if you're Dan Quinn, are you leaving this setup that you have for either of those three teams?
When is Micah's contract up?
Well,
2 years.
It's 2 years, but we were kind of talking at the beginning of the season that if he hit over 13 sacks, I feel like he's going to be asking to get extended this year, like in the offseason this year.
Okay, so, which would be awesome. So just those three teams, Commanders are probably the most interesting because they have a lot of cap space, and they, which I learned from the BIB podcast, Burgundy and or Boys in Burgundy podcast.
Boys in Burgundy with the bandwagon boy.
Yeah.
There it is.
And you're getting new ownership. They're looking for kind of to launch a new face of the Washington football team, whatever the hell they decide to call themselves. The next off, I mean, I don't think the Panthers are very exciting because you're going to have to try to force that quarterback to win, and I just don't know if he's the dude. What's his name again? Fuck.
Bryce Young.
Him and CJ Stroud,
I was going to say the way you can tell them apart is one's on a good football team and one's on a bad football team.
One's also tall and the other one's
tall. Yeah, the other one's small. I mean, the other guy's small for sure.
And Chargers are interesting, but that again, Chargers are a kind of a team where maybe they're just missing some pieces.
Yep.
So Dan Quinn really, out of those three teams, he kind of has a smorgasbord of where, how he wants to go. Does he want to go to like a brand new fresh start, maybe lock in for a 5-year stint, or does he kind of want to win now with the Chargers, or does he like what he sees in with the Panthers and thinks he can make something out of that young QB? That's not his forte, but
you make good points because with Commanders they hold that second overall pick, so you're pretty much getting to decide the cornerstone, like you're picking the cornerstone for your coaching,
yeah,
right. Whereas if you go to the Panthers, that's already been decided for you because you're not moving on from Bryce Young after 1 year. Right, like Dan Quinn's not going to go to Carolina and be like, "Okay, we're not playing him. We're going
to have to play him.
You have to play him another season at least." But it's you always hear that when a coach takes over for another head coach and he's got a high profile draft pick, it's like it just never really works out very well. Where he can go to the Commanders and start his own.
Yeah, it's different if you have like an Aaron Rodgers or someone who's like this veteran,
the face of the franchise.
Okay, you can work with that, but this is like the guy who's supposed to be 1 year in, and if as a coach you're like, I don't see what you see in him, then that's a big red flag. You're not going to want to go to that team. But this happens every year too, right? And these are just requests. These are teams saying, hey, can we speak with this player? So or this
can
coach.
Let me slide into your DMs.
It also looks like what does that person want in their career? Because Dan Quinn has been a coach before, and he's been back to the DC. So what does he want? Do you want to have full personnel availability? Do you want to go with a new owner that has a, like the ownership group that Washington has mixed with like Magic Johnson? They're going to do stuff maybe a little bit unorthodox. So maybe they don't go the conventional route. Maybe they do bring in a coach outside, but they want to interview people. We just don't know. And who, hey, if you have an opportunity, who are you picking second in the draft? How are you going to build this franchise? How are you going to build this organization? So I think a lot of that takes into account. Like you said, it's so early in the process. I kind of hate that they do it during the playoffs.
Fuck, man. Playoffs.
Like, isn't that so annoying? I know. Like,
most of this shit that people are posting right now is like, talking about Mike McCarthy getting fired. It's like, let him lose the fucking game before we talk about him getting fired. But I do kind of want to talk about him getting fired a little bit.
Okay, yeah, go for that.
Just one thing I want to say about Mike McCarthy. I think Dan Quinn is waiting to see what happens with Mike McCarthy in this playoff run to see if Mike McCarthy possibly like gets let go. And it's mind-boggling to think that you let go of a coach after 3-12-5 seasons and your third trip to the postseason. But if he has a fucking epic brain fart, this, like, if they lose to the Packers, guys, I'm telling you, Mike McCarthy's probably gone.
He's fired if he's fired on Monday.
I think it's in the books. You can't just keep, you have to proceed. You have to progress, right? And he has in his last 3 years with the Cowboys. You can't lose in the wild card to a 9-8 team. Maybe if they do get rid of Mike McCarthy, they bring Dan Quinn as the head coach.
Yeah, well, and that possibly could low-key be the conversation that Jerry Jones has with Dan Quinn, and Dan Quinn's going to wait until...
Kind of like you talking to AJ about football.
Oh, yeah, AJ and I have in our freaking...
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Bocci says, if Quinn leaves, pray he doesn't take Al Harris with him.
Boots on the ground.
Yeah, no doubt. I got a question for you guys and for Chad, actually. If you have to lose one of them, Will McClay or Dan Quinn, who would you rather lose? That's a tough question.
Well, ultimately Dan Quinn, because I think that he's doing more day-to-day with the team. Not to say that it's just kind of... What we know about Will McClay is that Jerry Jones has kept him around for so long, so he must be good at what he's doing, or he must work well with the Jones family. So, but that's pretty much it. We don't know what decisions he made. We do know what decisions Dan Quinn made.
Well, but since Will McClay's name's been gotten into, like, Cowboys talk,
yeah,
that's when they stopped drafting, like, boneheads.
Yeah, well, so...
Like, they've drafted some pretty goddamn good players with Will McClay in his position. So I feel like, crack him if you got him. It's kind of a weird one. I don't want to lose either of them, and we might lose both. So it'd be sweet to keep both, but I'm on the coaching stuff's fun to talk about because it's in the news right now. But it's also like Ad said, it's like, let's get us into the playoffs and get like this thing going, you know?
What will be interesting after middle of February is to look at the available options for replacements.
Yeah.
I mean, we could probably do that too. Just to see, but like right now they probably have a list of people who are potential defensive coordinators or I don't know, vice presidents of player personnel. But just the positive side is every single year, or at least every 2 years, some coach comes up from nowhere and does something. And so do I think that Jerry Jones has his eyes on the prize? Probably not, but he has the money for someone to be looking out there. Whether or not that person's in-house, Al Harris?
Yep.
Al Harris, that replacement, or someone like a Mike McDaniels, who is just, a very cool new type of style of coach. I don't know if he fits in necessarily with Mike McCarthy, but I'm just saying, like, that's the thing is, like, I'm never too worried. I don't want to lose either one of them,
But I am interested.
I do like what you said, that if Quinn leaves and Al Harris became the DC, I mean, that would be kind of interesting to see because, I mean, he's the defensive backs coordinator and what's been our strong point on this defense? Defensive backs, defense right? Back. So I think he has a big say in what kind of coverages they're running. So that's actually, that's a good call.
I never thought about that. Because I was going to go the route of like, I let Dan Quinn go, keep a Will McClay, because I think getting the right players on the team is vastly important. I think they're more solid defensive minded people that could come in and Jerry could pay them whatever money to fit that role. Or you bring somebody like Al Harris up and be the DC for us. I think like right now with all, I do think though, if we do lose DQ, there's a couple of defensive players that are less likely to want to stay around, than what they would if Dan Quinn was around. Now, the other interesting thing is that, you know, and Cowboys Chris came in earlier and he said, go F and blue. Like, the Michigan Wolverines, won a championship. And there's a certain coach that might be making his possible way back into the NFL, which is who knows, maybe if something happens and all of a sudden he becomes the newest kid on the block, maybe he's going to get an interview to come and take on the Dallas Cowboys. The newest old kid on the block. Yeah. Old man Winther coming your way. But again, I don't know. It's all hearsay.
Let's hope Mike McCarthy's still our head coach. I don't want to replace our head coach.
That's bad.
Having him come in and take over from Mike McCarthy, that means we either lost in the wild card or the divisional.
I think if you have the same squad and Mike McCarthy, like you said, if we lose this Sunday, Mike McCarthy does not have a chance. He's gone.
They'll be. And if it's on a decision like a, you got to think the last 2 years, the Cowboys have went out in very weird ways. The Dak scramble and then the Zeke center, like those are etched into our brains, right? So you can't go out like that. You just got to take care of business against a 9-8 team.
An interesting thing that Tammy says in the chat. She goes, any interest in Mike McCarthy? If so, Deke, you can take over as Cowboys head coach. Let Mike McCarthy go somewhere else or keep Mike McCarthy, demote him to OC and have DQ as the head coach. I don't think Mike McCarthy goes down to...
People don't give him enough credit. I'll say this. People don't give Mike McCarthy enough credit. The Jason Garrett years were fucking terrible. There was 3 seasons with back-to-back 8-8 teams. 3 seasons back to 8-8 teams with them having the NFC East on the line. Mike McCarthy can get these guys to play. He just has some boneheaded calls every once in a while.
Well, I was going to say to AJ, because AJ's talking about getting like a Mike McDaniels new school type of play calling or coach thinking in there. And, you know, is Dak playing better with an old school coach, offensive coach calling like Mike McCarthy versus someone like Kellen Moore? I mean, maybe Dak can handle that type of offense. Maybe Dak's too old to handle that type of offense. But
he's 29 years old.
30. Yeah.
30 years old.
30 years old. He's an old fucking man.
That's old. That's, I mean, quarterbacks is a bit different.
I'm kidding.
Quarterbacks is a bit different, but yeah, 30 in the NFL for most positions is. I mean, what's his face? AJ Brown was calling
Stephon Gilmore old man.
Yeah, and I think he's 32. Yeah. So you're not wrong.
He fucking dunked on him. Like LeBron just dunked on those other guys.
Okay, so we got some stats up for the Cowboys team leaders.
This is just final year stats. I thought it would be nice to just have a look and see how everyone ended up. We kind of know Dak Prescott over 4,500 yards, 36 touchdowns, an interception, 105.9 rating too, 39 sacks. That's like an average of 2 a game.
That's not too bad.
Not too bad. And he threw the ball 590 times.
He had a great year. Dak Prescott was a couple other games, a Miami win, a Buffalo win.
Yeah.
He's the MVP of the NFL, but it didn't break down. He was the MVP of the team and still should have been highly considered for all pro and MVP honors. But he's playing his best football in his career right now.
Then for our running backs, Tony Pollard eclipsing 1,000 yards, 1,005 yards on 252 carries for a 4-yard average. Only 6 tutties, but he only had 1 fumble, so give it to him there. Just under 60 yards a game, so definitely turned it on a little bit more. But also, Rico Dowdle, 89 carries, 361 yards, 4.1 average, and he had 2 touchdowns. So promising from the young backup. But other than that, those were pretty much our running backs. You know, we had some good runs by CeeDee Lamb, but they were few and far between.
It's funny that CeeDee Lamb actually, like CeeDee Lamb's rushing yards look pretty good. And then Kevontae Turpin with the longest rushing attempt for the Cowboys with a 46-yard long. And I think he fumbled it on that play.
Yeah.
Boys, I have to interrupt again with a super chat.
That's okay.
Interrupt. It was my bad that for whatever reason my chat kind of got stuck and I missed a lot of comments as we were talking about the coaches.
Get us caught up a bit.
Bought G $5 super chat to our homie EJ Savage for the birth of his second girl. So
shout out.
I don't think he's on it yet, but shout out to EJ Savage. Congrats on the birth of his second baby girl.
Congratulations.
And I'll just read
EJ.
And then I'll just read a couple other everyone else is saying congrats. EJ saying appreciate your boots. Congrats, congrats, congrats. And then EJ brings up a good point. He'd rather lose DQ. And then he goes, if McCarthy gets the boot, it'll be the third scheme change in 3 years of Dak Prescott. Doubt they move off Freaky Mike.
It just has to be like a shitty loss to Green Bay. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, so, and you know he brought up? Mike Vrabel got let loose.
I don't want Mike Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel, Al Harris, or even Wink Martinell.
As defensive coordinators. As defensive coordinators. Okay. I don't want Mike Vrabel. I don't want to get rid of Mike McCarthy and bring in Mike Vrabel.
No, as DCs.
Yeah, as DCs. Yeah, that's not bad if Dan Quinn leaves.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, AJ.
No problem. Receiving yards, of course, we know Sadarius Lamb. 135 receptions, 181 targets.
Jeepers.
1,749 yards.
That's 10 a game.
Yeah.
He averaged 10 a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. More than that. Sorry.
And we said we
10.1.
And we wanted a little bit more than that when we were talking, right?
I think 10 targets
is
pretty 13, good.
We were saying 13.
I said 15.
We said 15, but 15 would be amazing. But an average of 181 targets, 135 receptions, 1,700 yards. He was before going into week 18. He had the most yards by any player in the NFL. He was 19th on the list for most yards in a season after playing 16 games. So that's like with all the greats, right? Like the guys that only played 16 games. He cracked the top 20. With this game, I think he might have cracked the top 10, but of course it's with that extra game. But that doesn't take away the amazing season he had. Like he had a top 20. You could argue he had a top 20 season for a receiver in NFL history, right? So fucking pretty cool to see.
Now, Brandon Cooks, I'm just skipping tight ends for a quick second to look at Cooks and Gallup here. So Cooks had 54 receptions, 657 yards, but 8 touchdowns.
Yep.
Very respectable. And he had a 12.2 average.
Which is what you have to look at a little bit, right? Mm-hmm.
He didn't get a lot of targets. Those were all eaten up by CeeDee Lamb. No biggie there. But what do you think about that? We were expecting 1,000 yards. Maybe that was a little crazy. I think 800 was probably a ceiling there, but with those 8 touchdowns, it does kind of shift the perspective of his season for me a little bit.
I don't think we expected CeeDee Lamb to get those 180 one of those targets. I expected CeeDee Lamb to be in the range of like 140 for targets, which then that puts out another 40 targets out there. And just by looking at the law of averages, that puts another 15 to 20 receptions for Cooks, which bumps him up to right around that 800-900 yards, mm-hmm. plus like 10, 11 touchdowns. I think the bigger factor for his stats is that touchdown mark, right? Like he really, at the end of the year, mm-hmm. it's that one play.
Yep.
It's that one play they run when he's doing the out.
Yep.
To
the corner. And it's just always there. It's like we've seen that touchdown 4 different times and it's been on the right and left sides. And we've even seen him pick up some pretty important first downs with that same type of catch. Mm-hmm. So I still love having him and I am expecting some. Like, if they go and they try to completely take CeeDee Lamb out of the game, Brandon Cooks is more than capable to still take the top off. We've seen it. There's a couple times that Dak missed him by that much, right? So,
yes.
But he had defenses burned. So, it's nothing to do with the speed factor. They just haven't really connected on that long bomb.
Yeah, I think if you look at some of CeeDee Lamb's receptions plus his yardage, and you move that down to, like, even if you take 200 yards from CeeDee Lamb, and you move that down to Brandon Cooks, he's kind of hitting that 800, 900 marker. Definitely the first half of the season, like I think all of our guys were being vastly underutilized, and I think that obviously affects them. But at the end of the day, I don't care about individual stats. I care about team stats. Luckily, a lot of our individual stats are rock solid. But yeah, I want to see the team win. And when Brandon Cook steps in, he's stepping in at crucial moments. And you can't tell me that he's not making CeeDee Lamb a better receiver by being on that team.
Oh, definitely.
So get your number one to be there. And if that's what he's doing, and if he's helping coaching guys up, I hope he's on the team next year.
Another important.
I don't want them to get rid of.
No, Brandon I would Cooks like to see year. Him bring him back. He's on a 2-year. Brandon Cooks is still here for
okay.
another year.
Yeah. Okay, good.
But I do like to see the for the CeeDee Lamb, a really important stat, that yards a game, 102. 102 yards a game. And even Cooks, you got the 41. But getting past wide receivers, our true number two
yes.
receiving option was Jake Ferguson, which yep. we weren't sold on going into the season. I'm going to ask you guys now, are you sold on Fergie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's definitely an impressive player. And I think his stats show at 71 receptions, 761 yards, 5 touchdowns. So a little light. Give him 3 more. You know, and then we're talking like that's a 70 receptions plus 700 yards plus 8 touchdowns plus. I mean, I think that's what you're looking for. In your
we would have been happy if you told us that was his stats at the start of the year.
Oh, yeah.
We would have been like, OK, he's taking the slack of Schulte being gone. Sorry, I'm dying over here. Speaking of sleep apnea.
The kind of upsetting thing is Peyton Hendershot just fell right off and didn't really do much. He played. He actually seemed to be on the field a lot, but they did not look his way at all. Were they using him more as just a blocker? But anyways, I think he got a little too feisty for my liking sometimes out there. I'm almost causing some penalties.
Well, but great block though at the end of the
yeah, nice punt block. On, I like to see him doing it for special teams. But you add Schoonmaker and Hendershot's reception yards; they're just over 100 together. They're combined for 2 touchdowns. I think that's the biggest disappointment.
Yeah.
I've done this a couple times this episode already, but prior to the season, we had a couple hopes and dreams for the tight end room, right? Mm-hmm. Like, sure, Jake Ferguson exceeded expectations, but our tight ends as a whole completely fell off for I'm saying stat wise. Sure. Yeah. You could even argue it for blocking. Like, our running game hasn't been as imposing as it was last year. So tight ends as a whole, I mean, not the greatest season, but they're still young. I mean, we invested a second-round pick in the 2023 draft. We invested a 4th in Ferguson a couple years ago. So they're still young, right? Yeah. So, they could even, if Ferguson keeps progressing how he is, like, into next season.
He has the attitude that I like.
Oh, for sure.
When you look
he's
at the sounds of the sidelines and you watch the game film, like, he's a dog.
He's a dog.
So I love that. If Scooney can get up to being where Jake Ferguson was this year, and Jake Ferguson eclipses where he was this year, and he moved, like, even half of what Fergie's
yeah,
doing this
I, that's
year.
The only thing with that is, like, next year, if Schoon has 700 yards, like, 700, where you're taking those yards from someone.
Sorry, I just...
Unless Dak has 5,500 yards.
I wasn't meaning total yards. Just definitely give him up 400 yards.
Yeah, that'd be okay with that.
400 yards?
That fucking second round pick, right? I don't think the Cowboys were completely... I don't think they trusted themselves with Ferguson. If you could tell the Cowboys at the start of the season or before they drafted Schoonmaker that Ferguson was going to have 71 receptions.
Jake Ferguson's not going second round.
No, Schoonmaker's not
Schoonmaker.
They're not drafting
we're
Schoonmaker
not drafting,
second round.
Drafting Schoonie, yeah.
Defense, a big season, 109 tackles, leading tackler on the team. Total tackles, Damone Clark.
Which is interesting because, those guys, Bell and Clark are linebackers that I'm always like, yeah. Where the fuck are you guys? Why aren't you making tackles? But they are. Like, they're making tackles. Like, Damone Clark had a 70 solo. Marquez Bell had 61.
Yeah.
That's a lot of damn tackles, right? It just sometimes...
It's the where they were tackling.
Yeah, that could be it. They're not... Yeah. But I do like to see that our linebackers, and they have Bell as listed as a safety, which we know he's a linebacker right now. It's nice to see that they are our two top tacklers, because that's how it should be. Your two inside guys should have the most tackles.
Yeah, and Don O'Dubb finishing up with a strong end to the season. His last couple games were really good, and he certainly came to play. Did he have a forced fumble and interception?
No, J-Lew had the forced fumble and the interception, but Wilson had an interception, though. A very back-to-back games with interceptions.
Right. Yeah, so... happy with that. And that's what I wanted to point at. You just said his name, Jordan Lewis. Three forced fumbles.
Yeah, man.
This season.
He's ripping and gripping.
Ripping and gripping.
And yeah, J.Lew, the last couple games, I mean, exactly where you want to see that player be playing going into the, like, how many times when we watch it, like, who do they fucking target? They target J.Lew. Everybody else is locking
start of the season.
Up. Even, yeah.
Mid-season.
Mid-season. That first Eagles game. So, like, around that first Eagles game, whatever, week six?
Yeah, something like that. Week eight, something like that.
Right around there, every single time a big play was happening, it was usually on J.Lew. So it's nice to see that getting...
like his last four or five games, he's been playing very, very well.
He's been doing great. It's awesome. Love it.
We don't have the snap count, but I'd love to see Sam Williams' sacks to snap count ratio compared to Dorrance Armstrong and Micah Parsons, like his actual defensive snaps.
Yeah, where he's actually rushing the passer.
Yeah, because he ended up our top three sack leaders, of course, Micah Parsons, 14. Then Dorrance Armstrong, who had a couple big games, so this might look a little inflated, but still ended up with 7.5 sacks on the season. Then Sam Williams, 4.5 sacks. So those are our top three boys.
And defense!
DeMarcus Lawrence and Dante Fowler Jr. each had 4 sacks as well. So
you know who kind of fell off, guys, a little bit? Because we're talking about J.Lew kind of picking up at the start of the or at the end of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Osa.
Yeah. Osa Odigizua.
Osa was at the start of the season, he was probably one of our best players. And you know when it kind of fell off? Once our big guy, big Hank, was off the field.
Yeah.
So then Osa was getting the double teams, right? But an interesting, one of our favorite things, we're TFL boys up in this motherfucker, right?
Them TFLs.
Let's check out them TFLs, bae. Look at that. Micah Parsons with 18 tackles for losses. That's legit. I don't know where that ranks him in the NFL, but just looking at the team, it puts him right up there. You got D-Law with 10, and then Osa Odigizua with 9. And then Sam Williams, like AJ had said, he has 7.
No, like 5.
Sorry. Dorrance has 7.
Yeah.
Okay. But 5, again, 5 with limited. We know that Sam Williams is getting a limited amount of snaps. My guess is next year you don't see a guy like Fowler Jr. on the team, and Sam Williams gets a bigger role where Fowler was in there. So
the leading tackle for a loss is Daniel Hunter, linebacker, I believe, for Minnesota Vikings. Max Crosby.
What are their nums?
Oh, sorry, 23 for both those guys.
Oh, wow.
21 for Khalil Mack, 20 for Jesus. Owusu Koramoa.
I can't see how it looks, but that you sounded like you nailed it.
AJ's right in there on his freaking stat boy grass. He's just bringing it.
Whoa.
Go outside, nerd.
This is a
get out.
This has AJ written all over it. This
one. This is just stat muse. Nothing wild. And keep in mind, stat muse is sometimes wrong, but it gives us a close call anyways if it is. And Watt 19, and then Parsons with 18.
And are sacks considered TFLs?
Yeah, they are. I think. We thought they weren't, but
I can't remember if we figured that out or not. Cause then the Hunter and a couple of these guys have 20 sacks. So it's like not as impressive. I mean, the sack number is, but when I think TFL, I'm thinking like you took a running back down or a wide receiver down behind the line of scrimmage, which is an impressive play if you did it 23 times. But looking at these, because most of these top guys are all defensive ends, it's gotta be probably included with sacks, right?
Actually, it is a sack and a tackle for a loss are two different statistics.
So TFL separate.
This is what I'm reading.
Okay.
Could be incorrect.
That's the CFL rule book.
they're subsets of tackles. So maybe they're all together under tackles.
It's like a subreddit.
Chat, do you know, are TFLs and sacks combined, or is a sack combined for a TFL?
I'm saying no.
It shouldn't be like
no.
it shouldn't be because it's kind of double
That's
dipping.
That's what we originally thought.
It's double dipping a stat, right? Where
it is,
like every other stat's its own separate.
It's either this
entity,
or that.
Right? It's not a double like TFL because a 23 Hunter
a sack is a TFL.
It is,
but it is.
But I'm thinking like
yeah, no, that's what I'm saying though, like a sack. But it's on the quarterback, so it's
right.
Like a sack, and then a TFL would be on any other player.
Any other player other than a quarterback.
Behind the line of scrimmage, yeah. Okay. But anyways, we can confirm that with our with chat.
It's a tricky one.
But yeah, not a bad season.
So they did have all-pro lists come out today, too, and just off the top of my head. They did it a weird way where it's just showing the all the press, all the press guys that voted.
I was going to say, EJ Savage saying, I don't think they're considered TFLs. However, you got to think about design QB runs and or QB sneaks that get stopped short.
Right. Which is, it gets mucky when you start doing that. But I imagine the NFL is adding that up.
Anytime a quarterback is tackled behind the line of scrimmage, regardless if
it should be a sack.
It's a sack, yeah. Okay. I believe.
It should be. If I tackled the quarterback, even if it was on the design run, but it was behind the line of scrimmage, I want that sack number, baby.
Yeah, I don't think they can say
I'd want that boosh number, baby.
Oh, I want that boosh.
But so the all-pro teams came out today, and guys that I know made the all-pro team, I think they still have guys that they're going to bring out. But AJ has it up here. You have CeeDee Lamb, who made it as all-pro one for wide receiver. You have, oh, shit, Tyler Smith made it? I think they fucked up. Did Tyler Smith make it?
I don't know. This is from USA Today.
Oh, okay. So both our guards made it.
Just came out.
But Tyler Smith didn't make the Pro Bowl. Like, that's so weird.
January 10th.
Interesting. I like to see that.
Dak didn't make it.
But these are different. These are voted differently, right?
Yeah. So, well, this is voted separately. So you got the National Football League Players Association. So the PA. And 14 of the 30 players selected made the NFL PA All-Pro team for the second consecutive year. Here's the full list voted. And then the only difference is they do have, usually there's more. So right now, this is just the
first team.
Well, no, there's first team and there's second team, but there's usually more than one quarterback that gets all pro. I'm pretty sure. I might just be talking about Matt.
Josh Allen got it over Dak.
Okay. So Josh Allen got it over Dak.
The chat was bitching about it earlier.
But CeeDee Lamb, Tyler Smith, and Zach Martin, three all pros on offense.
There you go.
And then what do they have, defense up here too? I don't. Micah Parsons just didn't make it, but Deron Bland, our boy, Deron not so bland, second year player, all pro baby.
There he is.
That's what we like to see, man. That's sweet.
It is weird how these lists are so different. Like, I'm sure there's a lot, but just from a Cowboys perspective, how these lists are different from the. Okay, so this is Pro Bowl. Pro team, all pro?
All pro, yeah, which is the actual, like, legit. If you had a choice, like Tyler Smith didn't make the Pro Bowl, but he made an all pro, you'd rather be an all pro player. By the Associated Press over just a game that you go play flag football, right?
Yeah.
You just don't get a trip to, is it in Hawaii right now this year, or is it somewhere weird?
I think it's Hawaii.
It's usually, but it might be somewhere else. An interesting one on the defense, you got Pat Surtain, who we were, that's who I wanted them to draft. Until he got picked before us, then we took Micah Parsons. So, I mean, I scouted him, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you called it. Roquan Smith makes a off-ball linebacker, too.
Well, and we wanted the Cowboys. We wanted Roquan Smith when he was up and they were trying to trade him from Chicago. I was like, go get that motherfucker. Yeah, okay, like, he would have made this team insane.
EJ's saying this is separate from the AP All-Pro. This is the NFLPA All-Pro that we're looking at.
Oh, okay.
Well, shit, they got too many lists.
This is just who they think it's going to be?
This is NFL Players All-Pro.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the NFL PA.
So it's not the Associated Press yet?
No. So which one's the main one, the AP one?
Associated Press is like the one that actually gets put in.
And then so EJ's saying this is only voted on by the players.
Oh.
The NFL PA one that we're looking at right
which
now.
Which you could, I'm pretty positive that the guys you're looking at right now are going to be.
Yeah, look, I saw the list too.
The National Football Players Association.
Okay, yeah, the second annual. So what the fuck? So the all-pro list not come out yet then, I guess?
EJ Savage, the AP is the big one.
Yeah, AP Associated Press is the big guy, which they fuck you up here by just NFLPA, AP. They should just be separate entities.
Yeah, and this one goes up to Math and Michael Clark.
Smoke it up.
AJ's already fucking blast.
So, yeah, I don't see the AP. I just see the NFL Players Association.
Okay. So the all, and that's why I was getting confused, because usually on the AP one, there's multiple quarterbacks.
Right. Yeah, first and second.
Well, there's even on the first team, there's usually two, and then there's a second team.
Yeah.
And then a ninth team.
Police Bo in chat says, go Packers, and I say, go fuck yourself.
Hey, so
we coming for you, cheeseheads. Nom, 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 nom.
So
fuck you, shut the fuck up.
Let's going into playoff talk.
Mm.
Playoffs. Actually, we'll save this for we'll go into playoff talk, and there's a question I have, but we'll discuss that down here. So we got the Dallas Cowboys hosting those green. Yep.
We didn't have it on the list, and I was building out. Can we look at our power rankings? How did we end the season? Did they do an end of season power rankings?
There is no power rankings.
Okay.
It's done in week 18.
Okay. So we finished 3.
Yeah, which makes sense. The only two teams I'm putting ahead of us are the Niners and the Ravens.
Okay, sweet.
The Ravens.
Okay. Ravens, crack them if you got them, baby.
So we got the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Green Bay Packers for the wild card weekend here, 1:30 p.m. PST on Sunday. That's 3:30 CST.
Love that time.
4:30 EST. Yeah, it's a great time. Our show will kick off 1 hour before the game does right here on youtube.com/@CowboysCanFan. So if you're listening to this, hop over, come join us for the game. Or just search Cowboys Can Fan. CanFan, you know, like Canadian fan.
If you're hearing
we'll
this,
show up.
Yeah, if you're hearing the old this, Google. If you're hearing this anywhere else and you've never watched our YouTube show, you're missing out, son.
I'm definitely fatter than you think my voice sounds.
Not that fat. Like fat with a PH.
But and it, after we win, you'll see me shirtless. So there you go. Yeah.
Shirtless Anthony hits different after
but
a win.
You're svelte when that shirt comes off.
Oh, I'm all jacked up and blotchy from all the booze.
Like a seven like an early 1900s lumberjack.
Yeah, no muscle mass, just like just bulk.
Just beer, no water.
Just fucking bloat.
Just bloat.
I go to the wide shot here, and I totally forgot you had your mannequin beside you. I have literally not been looking at your mannequin that you've had.
That's Tony Romo right there
beside
me.
That's Tony Goat Romo? No.
Tony Ghost Romo.
Yeah, Tony Ghost.
Hey, guys, Gilmore and T. Smith are likely to play in today's game. That's not good for the Cheeseheads.
Man, and what we were talking about during the live stream, which we do, like AJ said, every Sunday during the Cowboys games,
right.
Gilmore, we were hoping, was just a popped out collarbone.
Mm-hmm.
And what look to our happiness, that's all it was. They went back in there and just did one of these.
Yeah.
One of those, just popped her right back in there.
And probably decided, you know, let's just keep you out for this one.
You don't need to go back in today.
Need to go back
guaranteed
in.
If it's like a playoff game, playoff.
Oh, yeah.
Playoffs. Or an important game, Gilly's going back.
100%. Give him that needle, whatever the hell is in it, that magic NFL needle.
Boosh me up!
Boosh
me up, baby!
Well, dislocated shoulder. I mean, I've seen Riggs multiple times dislocate a shoulder and then slam it up against the wall and put it back, and then he went to go arrest people.
Who?
Riggs from Lethal Weapon.
Oh.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, sometimes it'll just, but if it's happened once, there's a good chance it's going to pop out again.
Because it's weak, like it's moving. Weak and, it's like and lubed so up or something.
I think it really depends on how it did, but great news. And actually, just on the Cowboys injury, let's just look at who we
let me bring
we
it up.
Still have. Gilmore still questionable. So is Hankins, but it looks like T. Smith Tyler is no longer on the injury report.
Interesting. Ooh.
At least on the PFF. One PFF.
He was in limited. He was limited in practice today, so he was practicing. Okay. Like I mean, like you were saying, it sounds like it's a bad thing, but once it kind of pops or it hurts, it's very quickly to heal.
It heals, and it's a pain factor thing. Like you can't hurt it now that his plantar fasciitis is like popped or torn, whatever the fuck you want to say. Yeah. It's not like a knee where it tears or a muscle where it tears. It's purely a pain tolerance type thing.
Mm.
So boosh him, juice him up with whatever you need to, right in the heel.
Take
imagine getting
heel.
A shot right in the heel or like in the Achilles.
Yeah.
A needle
yeah.
right in there. That's horror movie shit right there.
Oof. You know what it was? It's because him and Sammy Dubs don't tie their damn shoes.
I know, right? That does.
Did Tyler Smith not have his shoes tied either?
I don't know.
Oh,
probably.
Sam Williams definitely was walking around without shoes tied.
Yeah, just casual.
Like that type of
height. Is
that like
that a Sam style?
I don't know, that type of height on Sam Williams, like, I'm not going to fucking bend down and tie my shoe
up. Yeah, maybe
that's how exhausted you'd get.
If I would have noticed, I would have been like, hey, man, can I tie your shoes for you?
Let me tie your shoes.
We got a big game coming up this weekend.
Oh, dude, he'd fucking boot you in the face.
The way Sammy Dub looked, too, he was almost dressed like a grade sixer, like with his shoelaces untied. And, like, obviously, he looks like a fucking giant of a man.
I liked his truck.
But his truck was beautiful.
I'll send you that clip after this, and you can post it.
Yeah, did we get his shoes in it?
Yeah, I have a full body shot. Chris Haynes is in the chat saying, go Pax, go.
Oh, Haynes!
Christopher Haynes! I told him, Haynes, I love you, buddy, but Pax are going down, bud.
They have to.
Cheeseheads are getting eaten.
Hey, but Chris Haynes, make sure you like and subscribe and tune in on Sunday, dog, when
I do
you guys
wanna,
get beat.
I do want to say one thing to Cowboys fans, because I feel a little bit this way this week, there's been a lot of history with the Cowboys Packers. The Cowboys and Packers, their last 10 games, the Packers are actually 9-1. Going back to 2014 and playoff history, playoffs. You got the Dez Bryant catch, no catch in the divisional round in Green Bay, which the Cowboys go on to lose. Tony Romo's last playoff game, playoff as a Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Then you have Dak Prescott's rookie season where he had an absolute barn burner of a game, and Aaron Rodgers and the Packers marched down in overtime to kick a game-winning field goal. So as Cowboys fans, yes, we have a little bit of Cowboys PTSD, and you're worried about this. You see the Packers and you get a little bit worried about this. What I want to say about that is from the Cowboys teams on defense, the only player that's still on that on this team that was in that game is DeMarcus Lawrence. The only offensive players that were in that last playoff game against the Packers are Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, and Dak Prescott. I'm not sure if Mike McCarthy was the Packers head coach in 2016. I'm pretty sure he was. So you got to even think it that way. That game was so long ago that our head coach was the head coach of the Packers, right? So any PTSD you have from these losses against the Packers, you can't think of it in that way. Not to mention those teams had Aaron Rodgers, right? I will give the Packers their credit, though. Jordan Love has had a very good season. I'd say beside Dak Prescott, his numbers, just glancing at them, are some of the better in the NFL. He had 32 touchdowns and 11 interceptions, a 90-something rating. Like, the guy can play quarterback, right? So, but I still, us at home, it's different teams. We're beating the Packers.
Yeah, the history is fun to look at, but
I mean, dog shit.
After 3 or 4 years, when those teams have turned over, it's not, you can't really compare 4 or 5 years ago to what's the teams today.
Even if you look at the crack, even if you look at the Bucks, right? We lost to the Bucks in the pro in two years in a row, and then last year in the postseason, we beat them, right? So you can't, and that was just in within a season or two of each other, right? So every season's a different game, but I know the anxiety level for Cowboys fans. You just see that Packer logo, and you know it's at AT&T, and you know it's the wild card. It does get a little dicey.
Well, the calls have been somewhat not – well, I should say this. The calls haven't been going so hard against us, so we got that TGR good fortune coming our way. But let's –
the calls – I was going to bring it up when we were going to wrap a recap, totally thought about it, but last game's reffing was pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Comparative play to like a bunch of the games.
They let shit go. I think the last couple games, the Detroit game especially.
Yeah, the Detroit game was perfect, Raffy.
Some noticeable injuries here for the Packers on a Wednesday evening is Jones, but both halfbacks, Jones and Dylan. Jones has a leg injury and Dylan has a head injury. They're both questionable. P. Smith, not sure who he is, the edge. He's got a leg injury. But then the other two kind of significant players of note is Romeo Doubs, wide receiver, torso injury, and Jay Alexander, quarterback arm injury.
That's a weird one, hey? Torso?
Yeah. Well, I think Doubs, that happened last game, I believe, early.
Is that like pelvis? Like your pelvis or something?
Just like...
Or is that your stomach?
Chest or stomach or something like that. Like... I'm guessing like, that's
what would you say? Torsos, nipples to balls? Is that your torso region?
Nipples
or belly button?
Nipples to top of cock.
Nipples to TOC.
TOC.
Jair Alexander. Him being out, it would be decent.
They'll all play. All the questionable guys are playing.
They might all play, but it's just interesting to note, like, will they be at 100? No one's at 100% by this time in the season. But, you know, if they're not playing 100%, that bodes well for the boys. And the reason that I kind of wanted to – actually, Jones here was not on earlier today or yesterday when I looked.
Really?
So he's been a new addition. It might have just been because he hasn't practiced until Wednesday.
Hey. Okay.
Sagama Beach.
But here's some – fun Aaron Jones stats.
Ooh, I like that you did some fucking intel there.
No, it came from actually a Packers website, which had this really cool thing called the dope sheet, which we can bring up and just look at some quick stats. Oh, okay. They had like 100. But anyways, Aaron Jones, he's had 4 100 rushing yards this season. 100 rushing yards or more games.
100 yards, yeah, games. Yeah.
Three, 100 rushing yard games.
Three more than TP20.
Yeah, and the Packers are 4-0 when Aaron Jones runs for over 100 yards or 100 yards.
Shit.
And Aaron Jones has played against the Cowboys three times in his career, totaling 370 rushing yards on 62 attempts. That's a 6.0 average with six touchdowns.
Ooh.
Blah, blah, blah. I know we're not going to take that into account because he's the only player with 300 rushing yards against Dallas since 2017. So it is somewhat
he's an outlier relevant, basically.
But I think that's the matchup for me to watch in this game, not to jump the ship right to that conversation, but Aaron Jones, if we can keep him contained, it's going to really help the Cowboys, especially if let's say Dobbs and Alexander are not out there able to contain or catch the ball as well as they should. That's going to give the boys just a little bit of a step up. We contain Aaron Jones, it could be the recipe to victory. But if Aaron Jones starts running all over us, we know how that can end with the Cowboys.
Yeah, you definitely don't want, I think 125 is kind of, anything over than 125 is no bueno.
Like a team.
Like team rushing yards, you
yeah,
don't want.
Yeah, even if it's Jones himself getting 125.
Oh, if Jones himself is getting 125, I'm going to be that guy saying we probably lost that game.
Well, the question I would have, not that we have to go down deep down into stats, but like, What who are the teams that he played and what was the offensive score from those other teams
that
he won? Because, okay, great.
More than likely, if you're running for 100 yards, though,
you're controlling the ball for a lot of the time.
Yeah, you're at least in the game. Like, if you're getting blown out in losses or behind, your running back's more than likely not getting 100 yards. You're in the third, fourth quarter, you're handing it to him. But, yeah, that would you're right. I'm going to.
I feel like this is going to probably be a pretty high scoring game. If Green Bay's offense can continue to produce what they have been producing, and they're hitting Aaron Jones in our holes on their defense, and by
like
that I mean
ears,
our fucking
ears or mouth, ear are holes, you an ear hole guy or
fucking,
a mouth hole guy?
A fucking run hole guy. That's what that's what that is. I'm a run hole guy. This might have to come down to a gun show. We've been talking about having a gun show, and we haven't seen a lot of gun shows.
I don't want to see a gun show.
When Dak throws down, he's fucking skinning that smoke wagon when the other team's at like 10 or fucking under 20.
I want Dak in a baseball hat in the fourth.
So yeah, the last
that'd be great.
The last three games for Green Bay. Jones has ran 127 yards versus Carolina for the dub, 120 yards versus Minnesota for the dub, and 111 yards versus Chicago for the dub. So no one crazy.
So this is perfect.
I feel great about that.
That's then. A perfect segue just for a quick one. I was looking at the Green Bay Packers record, their schedule. So they won their last three games and you just named them off. They beat the Bears, they beat the Vikings, and they beat the Panthers, right?
Yeah.
That's nothing to really be too scared of. The two games prior to that, they lost to the Buccaneers and then they lost to the Giants. So in their last five games, they're 3-2, but the level of competition that they beat and then lost to, as Cowboys fans, we've fucking heard this all season, right? About who we've played and how big of a deal it is. I don't think it's as important. Teams match up against each other way differently. So I don't put that much credence into it. But when you name the teams that he ran 100 yards on, The Cowboys beat Carolina. The Cowboys, did we play the Vikings this year? No, we didn't play the Vikings or the Bears.
I mean, we played the Vikings last year, and it was 43-0 when
But you know what I mean, like,
because we were there in person.
But so. we played the Giants. We played against the Giants, and we smoked them. But again, you can play that with any team. So
yeah, but at least it wasn't like they ran. At least Aaron Jones isn't coming on against, say, the Chargers, the Rams, and I'm trying to pick another team, the Detroit.
Like teams that,
this year.
That we have, like, on par defenses
exactly.
How much of a concern, because the big narrative right now that all the fucking analysts and everybody's talking about is how young this Packers team is. They have 15 players that are under the age of 25. So I think their medium, they have they're the youngest team to ever make a playoff.
Really?
Collectively, like, in terms of the amount of players.
Their average age.
Their average age, yeah. They have 15 players who are like 20. Actually, I don't think, I think it's under 24. Some of these guys have never even played in a big college game.
So that's my thing. That you can spin that both ways, right? You can spin that both ways. And right now the media is spinning it as it's a good thing. Like I watched that one clip when we were sitting here before going live. And I watched about 5 seconds of it because it drove me nuts instantly. It's just confusing how a 9-8 team, everyone wants the Packers to beat the Cowboys. If you're not a Cowboys fan, you're cheering against the Cowboys. That's just how it is. Yeah. Nobody that's out, no one's like, oh, I, like, how many games do you watch and not give a fuck who wins or lose? Yeah. Almost every game I watch, I don't care who wins or lose. If the Cowboys are playing and you're not a Cowboys fan, you're they're more than likely they're hoping for the Cowboys to lose.
Just PSA, listen to who is trying to push that square object into a round hole, okay? What has their perspective been on Dak Prescott the entire season? What they're wanting to have happen is, and I'm leading to, I'm guessing that they were probably saying Dak is trash all season, and then he, you know, came around and showed him what's up. So they're just waiting for a moment for Dak to lose or stumble so that they can say, look, I was right the entire time. Dak isn't that guy. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And, like, fair enough, but that's why we're, like, it's kind of their the way I look at it is the analysts are just trying to wish something. Like, if they guess Cowboys win and Cowboys win, nothing.
Yeah.
Right? It's only if Cowboys lose. And even if they say Cowboys win, but Cowboys lose, but the Cowboys win, they can still come back and say, yes, but
they kick it. They kick the can.
Kick the can. Yeah, but that was a 9-8 team, they'll be saying.
A 9-8 team, or Ad had mentioned it earlier, I think before you got here, AJ, that with the experience thing, well, they beat a team that's the youngest team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, like there's going to be something no matter what happens.
Our boy, Barry Grant Jr. of the All Even podcast.
What up, Barry?
What's up? He goes, they have one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Dallas will move the ball on them easily. Biggest issue I have is, one, will they be locked in capitals? In the Mike McCarthy area, they've come out flat.
Yeah.
That's the Cowboys.
They have. The Bucs game, they didn't. The Bucs game is different, but. Anyways, I know what Barry's saying. Against San Fran, and they're both their losses, like games they've lost, the team didn't show up until the second half. They scored 12 fucking points against San Fran. Like, if you want to win, you got to be firing on all cylinders, and you got to be hyped up. Like, you can't get down. You can't spot this team with running backs like Jones and Dillon. You can't spot them any points. You need to take your best way to get their two best players, who I think, or at least one of their best players in Jones, out of the game, is to fucking score in the first quarter. That's their best bet. And then put it on Jordan Love to have to throw the ball. So the Cowboys can't concede any fucking points. They need to come out, and Barry's right. They got to be hyped up, man. They got to be like, how I'm feeling right now talking about it.
Yeah.
Just give me the ability to play.
Oh my goodness. Cowboys can't fan anthems out there running the ball.
Looking like a 1900s lumberjack.
Barry Grant Jr., let's get you on pregame on Sunday for the show.
Yep.
And we're here a little bit, Bo. There's one guy in the chat, Police Bo, and he's a Packers fan. He keeps
not everyone's these, perfect.
He keeps giving a couple little quips. So I'm gonna ask while we keep talking. Tell me why you think your cheeseheads are going to destroy us. And don't use, like, he's using things like Cowboys get in front of real team's way, or he goes, too much pressure on the Cowboys, they'll fold. Like, tell me. Give me, from a fan's perspective, because you're a Packers fan, tell me why you think your Packers are going to beat our Cowboys.
And also, please, Bo, like and subscribe and come join us on Sunday to watch the game.
Yeah, Sunday, watch the game.
So I can call you a bitch again.
Woo! Yeah, and you can meet Ultra Cowboy on Sunday. That's for sure.
So with a victory over the Green Bay Packers on Sunday, just a kind of who would you rather see? And then tell me if I get this right, Chad, I'm sure will. If the Lions win, we'll play the Lions.
Yep.
LaPorta has an outside shot of playing this weekend. So
that's a big loss for them, man. Holy. That's a big loss.
Especially because the Lions, good team, scary team, but they're kind of, it seems like they're walking on glass or eggshells a little, like with, you know, if Goff slips up. Like, we've seen them lose some Cowboys as well, so I'm not, like, saying, oh, this is a thing with the Lions only. But we've seen them also lose some
weird ones.
So.
And that Laporta's arguably their – I mean, you got Amon-Ra.
Yeah.
But Laporta's the big part of that offense.
And if the Lions lose, which could have a chance if Porter's not out there, then we'll play the winner of Eagles or Tampa Bay.
Correct.
Who are you wanting to
see? So the Lions are playing. Who are the Lions playing?
Oh shit, caught me.
Because that comes into play. The Lions are playing.
Just give me 1 sec.
The Lions are playing the Rams. So if the Rams beat the Lions,
Rams, okay.
If the Rams beat the Lions, and then it would depend what the Bucks and Eagles game due. So if the Rams beat them, we're either playing the Rams or the winner of the Bucks Eagles game, because it goes lowest to highest, right?
Yeah.
So it can go three ways. We can play three teams. We're either playing the Lions, the Rams, or the
Lions,
Bucks,
Rams,
or Bucks.
Or Bucks.
We can't play. Well, we won't play the Eagles, because if the Eagles win, they'll play.
No, Eagle. So the only way is if LA. No, we have Detroit has to win. Actually, how the hell do we play Philly? I don't think we can play Philly.
That's what I mean. I don't think we can. We can't play Philly as no. at two.
No, because
the three teams is Bucks. We're either playing the Bucks, the Rams, or the
Detroit. Yeah,
but let's hope that we're playing any of those teams.
I'm fine, honestly, with like, not to get too far ahead, but the wild card here is what we got to focus on and get through. But at least that divisional, we can hang with those teams.
And it's at home. And if we're in the divisional, it's at home, which is huge. But I got a question, and it's just back to the Packers game. Yep. And AJ, I know you'd brought it up earlier as your biggest matchup. You're talking, you're thinking it's going to be Jones and what he does against the Cowboys defense. Is that your big matchup?
Yeah, and I'll call out Bell and Marquise Bell and Damone Clark to be our run stop linebackers. I know that we saw that they had some pretty impressive numbers in terms of tackles, more than what we thought, I should say. But they're going to need to have to come up a little closer and not allow those big rushes. So I, you know, it could be against the defense as a whole, but just to put like some players' names on it, Clark and Bell.
Ad, what do you got for a matchup that you're looking forward to watching? Am I caught you on the spot? Do you want me to give you a sec?
I'm sorry. Somebody trying to talk to me while I'm working?
Because I got one. If you want to marinate yours, and mine's actually the flip side of AJ's. So I was looking through Packers stats earlier today, and mine is Tony Pollard or our running game. You could put Dowdle in that versus the Green Bay's linebackers, who are their two leading tacklers also. So Walker and McDuffie is their other linebacker, and they had like 108. Quay Walker had 108 tackles, 70 solo, and then McDuffie had something up there too. So I'm interested to see how those dudes play against our running backs.
You want me to bring that up, or are you? You're just looking.
No, I'm just looking. Duffy. I'm trying to find that guy.
And then go to go back up to the top, AJ, and switch it to try. And
while he's doing that, Eric Castillo kind of confirmed. So just when we were talking, because that's what I was all messed up about. I was looking through chat. Rams win. They play San Francisco. We play winner of Eagles Bucks. Lions win. That's who we'll play next.
What did he say? Sorry.
So if Rams win, they'll play San Francisco. So if Rams beat Detroit, they play San Francisco. We would play the winner of Eagles versus Bucks.
Yeah. If the Rams win.
And then if Lions win, that's who we're going to be playing.
Yeah, Lions. But then we could also play against. There's three teams we can play. I read this today. Detroit.
Tampa Bay, Philly.
Yeah.
Or Detroit.
San Francisco plays the lowest seed team.
So if Tampa Bay beats Philly and Detroit beats. and Los Angeles Rams beat Detroit, we play against Tampa Bay.
Yep. If Philly beats Tampa Bay and Los Angeles Rams beat Detroit, we play against Philly.
Fucking scenario. Hey, boys, wild card weekend.
Wild card weekend. There's six good football games. You got two Saturday, three Sunday, and one Monday. So that's, and I like that we're, as far as game times go, I wouldn't have minded the night game on the Saturday, but I'm glad we're not the night game on Sunday night, and I'm glad we're not the Monday night game. I'm glad we're right in the middle on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like the 1:30 for us is fine. I don't mind that. It's a good time for us. We usually, you have time to get ready in the morning, get out here. It's the 10 a.m. game would be the worst, right? And then I don't want to play the Monday nighter. We played the Monday nighter last year against Tampa. I didn't like it. Tuesday, we hung over at work, was awful. It was terrible.
Barry's good for the pregame.
Perfect.
My matchup, I think, and because I heard it a little bit in terms of what's going to happen, and I think when I go back to being a gun show, I think my matchup is CeeDee Lamb versus if their main cornerback is this Jair Alexander, then I want to see CeeDee Lamb take the top off of him.
Dunk on him.
I think he's dunked on a lot better cornerbacks this year. And I don't see it being a cause or a case this season. So I definitely think CeeDee Lamb's going to fucking have a game.
Hundo?
Yeah.
You think he's having a hundo?
I think he's going to be pushing 175 this game.
Ooh, that sounds like a bowl. That sounds like a little. I do. Did you just show us the tip of your wiener with that call out right there?
Well, we're pack of 88s.
Yep.
And I'm saying 175, which means CeeDee Lamb's now going to have not a very good game.
No, you got to go with your, you got to back it.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. I like that you have that. So AJ, what do you got up here?
Just before we do our bolds and score predictions, I just found this. This actually goes back to.
To what we were talking about? No,
this goes back to the week 18. You were asking about power rankings. Well, they don't have that, but I found this that's kind of like a power ranking.
Okay, let's get one of these in the system, too. We haven't got one of these yet.
There it is. There nice little handle.
There we go.
The tag team champions of the world!
And hey, Police Bob, Police Bo, or Police Ba, and all the other fucking cheeseheads out there, we got
two words for you!
Take it.
I don't lift my leg that for anyone usually like that.
We got a new writer though, Cynthia Freeland. Much better looking profile photo, at least. I mean, like it's fucking tiny.
Hey, that's an AI photo, dude.
That's an AI photo. But we got NFL playoffs. Which AFC NFC teams are most likely to hit Super Bowl LV111?
I like that number.
I think that's 58.
That's easy to remember. LV111.
Who will lift the Lombardi? She doubles down. She didn't need this. She didn't need this title, this second part of the title, but
ooh, just getting more SEO in there.
SEO, I like it.
Well, she wanted to get Lombardi Trophy in there. That's the only reason for that second sentence.
So where, what, we can either do the number, like one through whatever, I guess, where the Cowboys are ranked, or do you want to guess the percentage of the chance that they have to win?
Say it one more time.
So there's a number, like we usually guess the number.
I think that's probably easiest.
Yeah. But they also on this.
They give a number also?
They have a percentage chance.
Let's fucking do both.
Let's do both. Okay. So
what's the scenario? What's the scenario?
I'm leading out three. I think they're going to give Cowboys third best chance. And then percentage, I'm going with, they're giving them like a, I'm going to go just a nice round number, 20% chance.
Okay.
They're having the stare down over there.
Okay, yeah. I definitely will say I can't pick three.
Fuck no, you can't, bitch.
Four.
Sure.
And actually,
but you can win either way. Like you get, there's two things out here. You might not get the position rank right, but you could guess the percentage. That's why this is fun.
Four, and I think they're gonna have them like a 40% chance.
Okay. Four and with a 40% chance.
I don't know. I'm just bringing that up.
I'm glad you're not an analytics guy.
I did accidentally see the percent, so I won't guess percent, but I can't remember where.
So
they
you know,
were.
Ads way fucking off with AJ asking him. give a different one. Give a different one. 40%.
Well, 40% at four.
Go outside, nerd.
Means that you've got.
Get out. Go.
You've got 60% to spread amongst the other.
40%. 40% at one or two is high in my mind.
Listen. I didn't understand.
Hey, but if that's the kind of, I didn't
understand the assignment.
No, but if that's what you're going into the game with, I like that. That's confidence.
I thought it was like they have a 40% chance at winning.
But it's a pie chart. You got to think of every other team.
Sorry. I would reverse it. 60% chance.
What?
That's even more.
That's even crazier.
Okay, I don't understand the assignment.
Okay, so imagine there's 100% pie. And each team that's in the postseason gets a piece of that pie. You're saying the Cowboys have more than 50% chance other than the other 14 teams? So then if you went 60%, those other 13 teams only have 40% between
right.
them.
That's why I didn't understand the assignment.
Okay, so with that pie chart, think of it like a big giant pie. What percentage of that pie out of the 14 teams are you giving to the Cowboys? Don't say anything more than 20.
I'm going to go 40%.
Okay.
No. No. Let it run. He locked it in.
Hey, that's confidence. I don't mind, I do like
the confidence.
I'll just sit down in five because I can't remember where they sat the Cowboys, but I can't do percent. Okay.
My 40% would have made more sense if I had them at number one.
Well, the 60% made zero sense.
I didn't understand the assignment.
Okay, San Francisco 49ers have a ninth. They're in first place, obviously, have a 19.4% chance.
So we're all way wrong. I gave the Cowboys 20%.
Yeah.
At three.
That's okay.
So our percentages are going to be wrong.
And once we take out Green Bay, we'll be doing this again next week. So now we know. Now we know what's being asked of us.
Let Ad know right now that next time in the divisional, the numbers will be higher for each team because there's less teams.
I understand the assignment now.
Okay. 60%. 60% of the time.
I know. I have so many fucking soundbite things that I can't even get it up. But you know,
it's science.
60% of the time, it works
every time.
Baltimore Ravens, 18.5%, so just a little behind those studs, and that's pretty much what your
Cowboys three at like 17.
So now outside of 12,
what teams, the Bills?
I know, isn't that ridiculous?
Fuck out of here.
So that's about over 50% in these top three teams here. They think the Buffalo Bills have a 14.3 chance percent.
That's wild to me. I do not see that.
Me neither.
The Bills are getting all this love.
I don't see it.
They have a harder path to the Super Bowl than the Cowboys do, in my mind. Anyways, fuck the Bills. What?
Chiefs.
Oh, my God.
Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs defense was a real bright spot this season.
Fuck. So AJ might be right at five.
AJ and a half.
You might be right at with the fifth. 15.
I can't believe they don't even have the boys up there. And they don't
there
even
it
know.
Is.
There it is.
Fifth, 9.9, so almost 10%.
I was close.
I don't understand that, though, man. So on the throws that traveled past the sticks this season, Dak Prescott led the league in passing touchdowns, 30 in total EPA, which we know Statboy loves, and ranked second in completion percentage over expected plus 8.9%. It's helpful that the Cowboys' offensive line and their scheme appear to have held up. Prescott was pressured at the second lowest rate, 28.4%, among those with 500-plus
There it is. Come on.
Plus pass attempts. As for the defense, the Cowboys ranked second in the NFL in quick pressures with 144, with Micah Parsons accounting for a league best 62 of those.
Ooh.
Parsons also led the NFL in overall pressures, 99, the Wayne Gretzky. Yeah. Have you guys ever had a 99 Wayne Gretzky coffee?
No.
Fuck! You shut the fuck up!
9 creams, 9 sugars.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
Is that a large or a small?
Whatever you want it to be, babe.
We fucking should do a Micah Parsons fucking coffee.
A 1-1?
I was going to say 11-11.
That'd be insane. Despite being double teamed at the highest rate, 21.4% among edge rushers with 70-plus pressures.
So those numbers all look really good.
Where do they give those bitch-ass cheeseheads? What do they got them at?
Well, next up is the Detroit Lions in the sixth slot, 8.5% they've given them here. We got Tampa Bay with 4.8%.
Okay, so TB has a fucking higher percentage of winning the Super Bowl than fucking the GBs.
Yep.
Browns, 4.4%.
That's a weird one.
Well, Browns kind of poured on it.
I think they're fucking the Dolphins over a little bit here. Dolphins. Like, the Dolphins have that team that can come to play. I mean, them losing home field obviously is a big ding.
Yeah.
Like having to go and play Buffalo in.
Yeah.
I believe they're playing Buffalo in Buffalo for the wild card isn't great, but I don't know. It seems a little low.
2.6% for the Dolphins. Eagles only 2.6%.
Like wow.
It's still higher than the fucking GBs.
It is. We still haven't got to the GBs. Rams, 2.2%.
See, they have. I think they should be a lot higher. The Rams coming out of the second half of the season. They're starting to actually click.
They're scarier than Green Bay.
Scarier than Green Bay. I think Detroit has a fucking game on their hands going against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
We should do a $50 parlay of every game win.
Listen to this fucking gambling guy.
I know.
Just $50. Not today, but
1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm just like, the whole time I'm just sitting over here, how can I get a gambling thing in here?
Houston Texans, 1.7%. We still have not got to
there we go.
Oh, this one's for Policebo out there.
0.4% for the Packs.
I mean, I still think, and that's to make the Super Bowl,
though. That's to make the Super
Bowl. Which I agree, but like that doesn't make, they could still beat us, right? Like,
well,
they're still the odds of them beating the Cowboys. I think they're a +7.5 underdog right now.
Yeah.
Which that, I don't like that betting line for Cowboys fans. That +7.5 is kind of scary because I do think it's going to be closer than that. But, 0.4%, eh? I agree. Because they're going to lose in the wild card, baby.
Hey, fucking
it'll be zero. But, yeah, next week we'll get a new list, the updated list.
Understands the assignment.
Yep.
Oh, 100%. 100% I understand it.
Boom! There's the flavor.
Just trying to get our pen going. We can do
something. I don't know.
I even brought a fresh pen in here. I got other pens that I'll bring in here. I'll have a cup. I'll have like a little cup with pens.
There's a pen over here.
Toss it over.
I'm kidding.
Oh.
Psych.
Just need one. I don't think there is. You know what? I'll use my notepad for now.
All right. Well, we got score and bold, baby.
I think Ad already kind of leaked his. Are we doing, we always do score prediction first, don't we?
Yeah.
Or do we do bolds and then kind of roll in with our score? I think we do bolds first.
No, we do score predictions first all the time.
Do we? Okay.
Yep.
I'm discombobulated. All right. Okay. Who wants to hang it out there?
Score prediction. Well,
has any of us been close outside of fucking Nat?
Not really, no.
Not that I can.
Not close at all, I don't think.
I think there might have been one game where I had one of the numbers.
Correct. I don't even think I've hit a single number.
Yeah, but I couldn't tell you which.
That's actually not true. I said a shutout. I did say a shutout against the Giants, or the week one. I said a shutout against the Giants. But that was my bold. I don't think my score was that.
Okay, I mean, I can start.
Sure.
I'll fucking kick it off.
I dare you.
Kick it off.
35-27 Cowboys.
Okay.
You're just going straight up 5 touchdowns. No Aubrey. No automatic Aubrey.
No, they don't trust him right now.
All right, Deadspin. All right, Deadspin.com.
Like, that probably made me more irate than anything.
That Deadspin article saying that.
Just the fact that, like, he didn't fucking miss. It was the players broke it for him. Like,
yeah.
Just, that's a very Cowboy thing.
He did miss
to happen,
one, though.
Right?
He did miss one. He did miss the. He did get to one block.
Because my boy was also shook.
But you know what's more important? To finish the game or to end his kicking day, he hit a 50-yarder. So yeah. I think that's more important than anything.
Yeah, but it's going to be 35-27.
35-27. That is, ooh, that's a fucking close game.
Too close for comfort.
Are you saying it's like, I don't even know what you'd have to do at that. Like, I'm trying to make it seem like a close part. Or I guess you'd have to say Cowboys have 35. There's a minute left.
Yeah.
The Packers are driving with the ball with 27 points. That makes it a nail biter, baby.
No. I think they'll score 27 in garbage time.
Or yeah, Packers go down.
Oh, I like that better.
Score a touchdown and get they're down by there. It's 35-19,
and then miss the point after.
Or no, they get the 2 points.
Sorry, miss the onside kick. Cowboys
miss
cover
the onside
kick.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that.
I'm gonna go. If I can hop in here.
I'm going to go
37-24.
Okay, so bandwagon boys very similar. You guys are feeling the same. You're feeling the same aura going in.
Well, I think there's going to be 4 Dallas Cowboys touchdowns, and I'm just going to give Aubrey 3 kicks.
I like that.
I just feel like we're going to move the ball well against this defense. We might not get touchdowns every drive, but we're going to be getting points. I do see Green Bay scoring a couple times. It's the NFL. You know, this is the playoffs.
Playoffs, and Jordan Love, he has an arm. He's had a good season, 32 touchdown passes, 11 interceptions. And again, Cowboys fans, if they get up and they're up 7-0, I just breathe.
Chill, Winston.
Crack them. Crack one. Shotgun one if you have to.
Yeah.
If you have anything equivalent to Screech, take a shot. But it was like the Commanders game when it was 10-7. The chat was like a fucking nuclear bomb.
I could feel Ultra just walking through his fucking kitchen.
It was 10-7. The chat was going insane, and we ended up winning 35-10. So it's like, just breathe. Just breathe a little bit. My score prediction is Cowboys at home. Cowboys finished the highest offensive points per game team in the NFL, 29.1. But they're at home. I think they get that advantage. So I got to go more than that. AJ, 37?
37.
24. Ad went 35. Ooh, I'm booshing even higher than that, boys. Going 40.
Woo!
I'm going 40 fucking 3. I'm going 43-20. 43-20, baby. 40 burger in the fucking wild card round. This team is going to show what they're made of. Dak Prescott's going to play unreal. I'm excited for this. It's a 9-8 team. I know we shouldn't take that. Like, we've lost to shittier teams than the Green Bay Packers this season. But I'm confident, and I think this team's confident.
I just put that out there because I was worried that we're messing up. We've never recorded scores outside of this fucking yellow pad.
I'll write it down after.
We'll do it after.
I just don't want to slow.
Yeah. I just want to hit up 2 of our Packer listeners right now.
And subscribe.
Police Bo said he did like and subscribe.
Appreciate it, man.
Make
sure you hit that notification button. That little bell.
Well, this is kind of like, you know,
Tap that bell. Tap that bell.
What do you think his scores prediction is going
to
be?
I don't know. Something stupid.
46-3 Packers.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Say it again.
I appreciate the like and subscribe, but get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
We got Christopher Haynes saying, I want to say Packers going to win 33-28.
I mean, that at least it's a game.
At least Christopher Haynes lives in the real world.
On what planet did the Cowboys only score? Did he say 6 points?
Three.
3 points? It's just... There would have to be something colossal. I even think Cooper Rush goes in there and puts up more than that. You know, I get the Packers. What is he basing this only scoring again? The highest points per game team who's 8-0 at home. What's he basing that 3 points on?
What's he basing 46 for the Packers off of?
That's what I mean. It's a hopeful. Hey, and we appreciate it. And if that happens, come in here and troll us. We'll take it like champs.
We'll take it.
Glitchardson. I don't even know how to say it. It's XY Litchardson. He says 31-21 Cowboys as a Packers fan. So he's a Packers fan saying 31.
How do you like that, Police Bo?
Okay, so Police Bo saying, look at my explanation above. He was spam botting us up here. He says, what was Parsons' stats against the Packers last time?
That's what gives a shit about last time. That's 2 years ago. That was his rookie season.
Yeah.
That was his rookie season in midweek game. Who gives a shit? With you guys having Aaron Rodgers was still your quarterback.
And Cowboys ground game is trash. That doesn't mean you're gonna.
What about I'm not gonna argue about this. There's no way the Cowboys. If you think that, you should bet money on it, because if that happened, you would on a $100 bet, you making bank, son. Run GAMBLER it right now.
Yeah. And If for whatever fucking reason your score prediction is right, even if it's like, and I think you have a better chance at the Cowboys being 46-3, we'll still send you a Cowboys cap.
Even 46 is just such a weird score number.
46-3 Cowboys. He's getting a shirt.
Yeah, I'll send it to him.
Anyways.
Anth, do you want to do your bolds?
Bolds. I'm trying to think. Has anyone hit a bold this year, guys? Did we hit any regular season boldies? I think AJ's hit two. I think he hit one year one, and I think he might have hit one this year. Yeah, I'm not too sure, but I'm just trying to stall as I think of something. Dak Prescott, 500 yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown.
Wow.
That'll play into the – that'll play – what was my score prediction?
43.
So, yeah, that plays into it. Oh, no, it doesn't. It doesn't play into it. 4 touchdowns.
Ooh, sorry about that whammy.
4 touchdowns, 1 rushing.
Okay, 500 yards.
I got to play into my score prediction. I can't have a score prediction and then make a boldie. That makes no sense.
Okay, I will go next. My bold's going to be, and this will play into yours as well. I'm calling a touchdown for Sedarius, a touchdown for Ferguson, a touchdown for Cooks, and a touchdown for Tolbert.
I like that. That plays right into my pot of gold over here, my friend.
That's a wide receiver grand slam.
Yeah.
Almost.
No, Lamb, Cooks.
That's not wide three. They would need to be 4 wide receivers.
Oh, yeah. What's a receiver, I guess. But, yeah, so Lamb, Cooks, Ferguson, Tolbert. All getting 1 touchdown.
And Fergie.
Lamb, Cooks, Ferguson, Tolbert.
Yeah, well, we're not saying crazy. We're not talking crazy here.
Crazy predictions? I mean, I felt you know what? My bold doesn't sound so bold, so I don't know. I got to...
Well, figure it out. Juice it up. Throw a little bit of hot sauce on that.
170 is pretty bold.
CeeDee Lamb over 175 yards.
If for a before, and I can, while Ad's telling it, can you check the highest reception total for a Cowboys receiver in a playoff game? Playoffs, because if it's less than 175, that just makes it seem a lot more bolder.
Yeah, it's once. I was going to say 175, 2 TDs for CeeDee Lamb.
How many receptions?
14. Plus.
14 plus receptions. You're going 14 plus receptions. It's 175 yards, 2 tugger knots.
2 tugger knots, 175 yards, 14 plus receptions. So 14 plus.
Okay. I like that.
I don't think he's had a 14 plus game. He's had 13. Actually, no, he had a 17 plus. He had a 17 game, I think.
No.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Can you check?
Yeah.
Check his stat line. Hey, check his stat line.
I'm checking.
And just remember, everybody, this is bold predictions, okay?
That's right.
So highest Dallas Cowboys player, most passing yards in a game. No, that's not good. What I will say, well, AJ's trying to find this one, which I did put him on the spot a little bit. We didn't talk anything about Micah Parsons being held, which is, I think, a first in the last
three months.
But we waited till this
you
point.
You just did.
What I wanted to say about it is a guy on Twitter or X, whatever the hell you want to call it, he went back and he graded out, or he went back to each of the other top seven pass rushers in the NFL to see it when they had a holding penalty called on them. And all of the other defensive ends in the NFL that are top seven, like Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, Aaron Donald, I'm just trying to think of names here. Those types guys, it was from week 12, between week 12 and 17, those guys had all had holding calls called on them. Whereas Micah Parsons hasn't had a holding call called on him since week 6.
Yeah.
And this was such a preventable topic to even have for the NFL. All they had to do was call the referee call a holding call against Micah in week 9 and then one in week 13. And Cowboys fans wouldn't be able to bitch about that. So I found that as something interesting that was on Twitter today. I'd like to give the guy a shout out, but I forget what his name was. But he did the work of what something that we've all been talking about. Because we're always like, well, there's holding calls in games, but what happens with other top defensive ends? And they get calls. Mm. They get calls.
Yep.
Think what you're saying.
We're getting more Green Bay fans
spit it out
in here.
Yeah, Green Bay fans. Hey, we're going to be doing this. We're going to be live an hour before. We'll talk the shit with us. We love it. Bring the Green Bay Packers fans in here. We are hostile, mobile, not so agile. And it's actually a perfect.
There's a couple of us here that are pretty agile.
I said,
tell you right. Yeah.
Depends where you're going. Are you against NFL players or not? But this is a perfect time for Green Bay Packers fans, bandwagon boys. If you guys know personally any Green Bay Packers fans.
I know maybe two.
Well, you have a couple days to tell them to go fuck themselves. Thanks for coming by, chat. We will be live an hour before kickoff, baby.
Ooh. And our boy Baji is going to be live on location. So if you're there, crack it with them, baby.
Baji, baby.
Peace. Start off slow.
It started off.
Yeah, if 2 minutes in, it fucking went. We just gotta delete it.
What happened?
All right, so what I'll do is I'll.